With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
The Club 1080.
Tasty, huh? So I'll walk by her desk, I'll grab something, I'll rub it. Nip the tip.
Strap on there, huh?
The hills are alive with the sound of rock.
You got another thing coming to the door.
You have to grip the rod and apply pressure. At that point, squeeze as hard as you want. Meow. They're able to handle quite a bit of load.
Our drops are great. I'm pretty much great. Okay, so welcome back to our show.
Well done, Michael.
Luke is over there.
The listeners chimed in, and they did hear the similarity between my voice and Joey's.
I gotta tell you, man, I don't hear it. Maybe I need to listen to it actually on the radio, so me being in the room changes things, but I don't hear it.
My voice is in my own head, so I've never heard it, but it's happened more than once that it's been pointed out. So
now I'd like, I have a few Joey follow-ups. One is, I think it's fascinating to talk about the money of professional athletes.
I know. I felt bad because I asked a lot of money questions. I felt like I don't want to.
Well, we both did. Too much.
I know, but at some point he was so honest about it, which was great. But I wanted to keep asking more money questions because it's fascinating.
Well,
because we have such an off perception of how much money it actually is.
Where our brain goes,
when
we look at these athletes and the money that they make, it's easy for us to just go, "Oh my God, they're just it's astronomical." These contracts. You know, Joey, of course, he went into the league in 2002, so it's been a while. But even then, you know, top five NFL quarterback, franchise quarterback type money. If you think about it, he steps out of the league at the age of 29.
Yeah.
If he lives to 80, let's say he retires with, I mean, I don't know. Let's say he retires with after taxes and pay an agent and your living expenses and everything. Let's say he walks out of the league at the age of 29 because he ended up getting another contract. It wasn't as big as the first one. But let's say he or just a player leaves the league and they have $15 million in the bank, $12 million in the bank, whatever, right? You can't retire. I mean, you're 29 years old.
Yeah.
You have – if you live to 80, that's 50 years of no income. You're going to – now you're going to grow that money.
Sure.
But I think we just have to your point, we just have a misconception of a lot of things when it comes to the money and what it does or can do for these guys. And they're so young, and there's just a lot of factors that we don't think about. We just think, oh, Joey Harrington, rich guy, played in the NFL, got a ton of money. You know, he's doing fine. He's well. He said it.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, he's only 41 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I know his wife works. His wife, I think, is like a nurse or something. But so there's income there. And, you know, he does a lot of charity stuff. And I'm sure he doesn't have to actually work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he can't just kick his feet up and wife and he move to a beach somewhere and call it a day.
I thought of the question too late, but ask him next week if you remember or if you think it's a worthwhile question. Would Joey have gone to an XFL if there was one available? You know what I mean? At the end of his career... It's relevant,
I think. Good question.
But it popped up.
make a little more money.
He was telling the story, so of course you don't want to interrupt us, but I thought of it kind of at the end of the conversation with him, and I figured I'd throw it to you. But yeah, I wonder if he would have been, you know, lured in if he made $1 million to play in the XFL at 29 years old, whatever it was.
$1 million?
I don't know. What are the quarterbacks making?
Oh,
whatever.
300, 200. I don't know. Didn't we do this the other day?
I don't know. Whatever the money was. I wonder if he would have gone and played.
It's not that much. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what was the other thing? Oh, it sucks to make millions in sports. Okay.
Yeah.
That's basically the bottom line.
It does. Sucks. When he was talking about that period where he's back at Oregon before he went to the NFL, after he's drafted, that sounds like a party.
October.
If you could trade
6 months,
if you could trade 6 months of your life,
and you know you got, like,
into,
you said,
a spot, that's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, right there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're 23. You're single.
Yeah.
You have what did he say? He didn't say the number, but that signing bonus is coming your way.
You got $30,000 from EA Sports.
Yeah. Dude, you're going to be the franchise quarterback in Detroit. It's like, what could be? I mean, it's
pretty good.
What are you griping about?
Well, you were saying how good it is to be, you know, celebrity or not celebrity.
It's that big radio money.
Oh, professional ski resort, scuba dive instructor. I think that's a pretty good gig, too.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. Well, here's the deal. We got to take a break.
Sure.
Because we always go over with Joe. And then when we come back, we got to talk about the topic of the week. This is a big topic.
It is.
Everybody's debating this. Yep. And it is, do you or don't you recline your seat on an airplane?
And boy, cannot wait to hear it. Mike gave us a deep
tease.
He's
fired up. I love it when Mike gets really, really, really opinionated about something. He's got a mean stare right now. Like, he's ready.
But you can see, like, he's got his twitch muscles are going. His head's just bobbing.
Hold him back.
Just sitting there. He's like, oh, boy. Just wait till I get my time.
He's like a bull.
I've been waiting to talk about this all day.
We just branded his ass. He's like a bull getting ready to come out of the chute and kick some ass.
Yep. Nuts all locked up. Pissed off.
Nuts all, yeah. We just put a ring around Mike's nuts, and he's pissed.
So he strapped.
Get it off.
So he strapped a cowboy to his back and a ball constrictor, and he's ready to go.
All right. That's
okay. Is that enough? Get there.
All right. Let's just talk about it. We'll do it next. Yeah. All right. It's the club on the Fan. Bye.
Get started today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Well, the debate that is raging.
Real quick, sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but before we get, I want to remember to give Daniel a shout out.
Okay.
I know that your Venmo account is exploding.
Yes.
Because of your new Instagram fame and all those photos you posted.
Because of my body.
Daniel threw me $1 on Venmo.
Oh, you got one too.
With a snowflake emoji. So I am also now raking in the Venmo dollar.
Thank you, Daniel.
So yeah, shout out to Daniel.
And by the way, he said he'd send one to Mike, but Mike doesn't have Venmo.
So. Oh, what?
Come on, Mike.
How do you not have Venmo?
My wife and I shared the same account. So.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Wait, how do people pay for tacos with you?
Okay, the debate, it's raging. It's a raging debate. And I didn't know this was really that much of a thing, but it is, because on American Airlines recently, there was a woman who was sitting in the second to last row, and she reclines her seat, and she then films the guy behind her who's, remember, his seat cannot recline.
Yeah.
He is so mad that she reclined her seat that he starts repeatedly punching the back of her seat obnoxiously. And quite frankly, like a child. I mean, come on, dude.
Yes.
But I understand his frustration. So this has created it's got everybody talking on social media, the debate of is it acceptable to recline your seat on an airplane?
Yes.
And of course, there's one side that says, well, they recline. Why would I not recline them?
Yeah, that's
And there's the other side that say it's just rude and you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Now, that to me seems stupid.
Which? The latter?
The latter. The final row, I get. But the thing that throws me off about this video, her filming it, him punching the seat, can they not have a conversation with each other? If he's irritated...
Wait, you mean communicate?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. If he's irritated that the seat is back, does he not have the ability to lean over and go, excuse me, I feel a little cramped back here. Is there any possible way? Yeah.
Well, that's far too logical.
It seems like a pretty easy solution.
And what's the last thing we want to do on an airplane?
talk to somebody. I totally exactly. get that. My mother is somebody that always will sit and talk to the person next to her.
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it. She's from a different time. And
some people, there are those people, and you try to avoid them.
Oh, absolutely. If you get stuck down to my mother. Now, I have had a couple people sitting next to me that go, I recognize your voice. And then at the very end of the flight, I'll talk to them a little bit, and they'll be like, you filled in for Souk that one time.
Or they're like, hey, you're Joe Hanton. You played quarterback for the Lions.
Yeah. That voice.
I got to tell you, this has blown my mind that this is such a big, heated thing. Now, I will tell you this. Okay. I do not recline.
Under any circumstance?
I have, but I have found that it's uncomfortable either way.
Sure.
And so it's never really a thing for me. Like, I don't really care to. So, sometimes, if the person in front of me reclines, then I'm like, oh, it reminds me that the recline is there. Okay, maybe I'm gonna recline. I don't think it's rude to recline. I do think that it's kind of annoying when somebody reclines in front of you, but the chairs recline. I mean, why is it so rude? But there is a whole etiquette thing of people that are saying you should never recline your chair.
Yeah, that seems stupid.
Let's go to Mike.
I am a strict never recline my plane seat guy.
Okay.
And that is because I am a very large person. I'm 6'4", I'm 280 pounds, I'm a large guy. And if someone reclines the seat in front of me, if I'm in a normal seat, not extra leg room, not exit row, whatever, it will kill my knees. Because when I sit down, my knees are already in the back of the chair.
Sure.
So when they recline it, it's just instantly, it's digging into my knees.
See, I wouldn't think that would affect you.
Why?
Because I always thought that it was just the top that came
it
back.
It does, but think about the bottom of it where the little metal parts are where it reclines. It just makes it a smaller space, right? You're a big person in an already small space, and it gives you zero room to breathe. Let me finish my thing.
Mike's pissed.
This is not any person who reclines fault. This is clearly the airplane's fault for making every seat as small as humanly possible, which is absolute BS. But here's the way I look at it. There should be a common courtesy in reclining where you either ask the person behind you and say, hey, is it okay if I recline? Or you look behind and see, is it a smaller person? Is it a larger person? Just be aware of who's going to be around you. If the person behind you is reclining, they're probably okay with you reclining. Learn where you are on the plane and then make that decision based on that, because the comfort you will get, unless you have some sort of injury, the comfort you will get is minimal. The discomfort you will give the person behind you is way higher than what you will gain.
So I have two follow-up questions to that.
Mike's doing science.
You said you never recline.
Never. I never recline.
So you've never tried to see if it makes you more comfortable if the seat in front of you reclines.
I have reclined, and as planes got smaller, and I realized what was happening to me, I made the decision to say, no more reclines.
Okay, but if the person in front of you reclines, if you get that extra, 3-inch recline, are you able to stretch your legs? Would it ease your comfort at all?
No.
So it doesn't do anything to help you?
No.
Because
my legs are immobile.
Do you ever ask the person in front of you to put their seat in the full upright position?
I have not, because I don't want to start the confrontation.
See, that.
And if they wanted to ask me, I might even say, you know what, because you were nice about it, sure, you can recline. It's a short flight. I can deal with it.
But why not ask? If you're that uncomfortable and you go, I'm sorry, miss, sir, child person. Whoever they are, just go,
lady.
Hey, listen, I'm a big guy. You're hurting my knees. Is there any chance it could move up? And if they say no, you're no worse off. And if they say yes, you're way more comfortable. That's my old thing about this video is, what was the conversation that happened before?
Yeah, he shouldn't have been punched. I mean, don't punch the back of the person's
seat. He's
acting
like a child.
Yeah, but that seems petty to me. I'm an average size guy. If the person in front of me reclines, it gives me no discomfort. And it depends on what I'm doing on the plane. Like, if I just want to sit back and try to, like, sleep for a second or just listen to music or something, I'll recline. And that I get a little bit more comfort from that. But I've never had anybody ask me to put the seat back up.
Yeah.
And if they did, I'd be like, oh yeah, absolutely, no problem. Because like you said, Isaac, it's not that much more
comfort.
It
doesn't change anything for me.
But if I'm reading, I usually have it forward. And then if the person reclines, because I'm usually leaned forward if I'm reading or like playing something on my phone. And if I'm leaned forward and the seat comes back, then I'm a little uncomfortable. And I'll reposition.
What we're learning here is something I didn't know. And that is, Because I'm an average size guy, I did not know that reclining your seat on an airplane did that much, created that much discomfort for a bigger person sitting behind me. I didn't know that. I assumed because it doesn't affect me when somebody reclines in front of me, that it wouldn't affect anyone else. I never even thought about that.
There's another side to this too that includes the tray table. If your tray table is down and they recline, all of a sudden it's in your stomach, right? And it's like, so you already have no space. The tray table is down, so you have even less space because you have a drink or you're reading your book on it or whatever. And then now all of a sudden that's on you because they're reclined. You're trying to lean forward to read the book. Your head is now touching the seat in front of you. The tray table is in your chest, and you can put the table up. There's options, obviously. Yeah. I'm not saying there's not. But again, this goes back to the common courtesy thing. Sometimes it's just as much as looking back and seeing, oh, is that person doing something that will be bothered by this? Because I've done that before, too, where I will look back, and this is before I made my strict policy of no reclining. I'll look back, and it's like, oh, they're sleeping, and they reclined? I'll recline.
But if Isaac and I, or I, are sitting behind you, the seat in front of me reclining doesn't cause me that much discomfort. How much pain or discomfort would you have to be in order to say something to the person in front of you?
I think
you're passionate about this.
It has
obviously
to do more with the length of the flight. It's how much...
But you've never said anything.
I haven't,
And you've flown across the country countless times.
But I also have made the point now to where I will splurge for the extra legroom because I'm so uncomfortable. There's only certain airlines that the regular seats are even somewhat normal anymore. Alaska is actually one where you get into a regular seat and you're like, oh, okay, I got a decent amount of space. Try sitting at the back of like a United flight. Oh my God, it is a freaking sardine can.
I do fly Alaska most often.
So it depends on the length of the flight a lot for me. So if I'm flying across the country, if I'm going back home to Jersey and it's a 5.5 hour flight and I'm in the back and someone does that, I'm going to be way more likely to talk to them about it because it's like, hey, look, I can't move my legs. This is a long flight versus a couple hour flight to Vegas. I'm like, okay, I can be uncomfortable for an hour and a half and deal with it.
Very interesting.
So the other question I had related to this.
By the way, have you gone to Passenger Shame? There's a Twitter feed that's kind of a fun follow called it's at Passenger Shame, where people are on flights and they post all of the crappy stuff that other people do.
Well, that was
and then they shame them.
That was actually my next question.
It's great.
What would somebody have to do in order for either of you guys to pull out your camera and film their misbehavior?
I think nothing. I don't think I would ever pull out my camera.
There's no point. I can't imagine the scenario. No. And I heard Dirt and Sprague talking about this earlier for a few minutes. And Mr. Andy Dirt Johnson, go figure, is a plain farter. And he admitted farts. It freely.
Oh.
And he farts on planes. And he's proud.
Controversial.
Of it, I guess. But his name's Dirt. So.
Well, what are you supposed to do? You're on a 5-hour flight.
Yeah.
You got to fart. What do you do?
I just go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on how bad you have to.
I think I leak it out.
Yeah. If I feel like I can get it under the radar, and then my wife will look at me and just goes, and I'm like, yeah, sorry. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I wouldn't say it's something that I'm proud of, but it's happened before. But if the guy is just ripping big, loud farts next to you, would you record that?
He said that?
No, I don't know that he did. But if somebody was just audibly cutting wind, bacon air biscuits, would you pull out your phone and videotape that? Because that'd be worth the
There's nothing I would pull out my phone and videotape. Well, unless there was like
a disturbance,
a Dr. Dow type situation going
on.
You know,
That's not my first instinct, but I think for a lot of people it is, which is kind of scary too.
Yeah, it is. So like on this Twitter feed, there's like people who, a lot of people will take their shoes off. Is that acceptable?
I've taken my shoes off.
I have too, but I don't think it's acceptable.
I used to and I stopped.
Yeah, I agree. I was same as Mike.
Really?
Yeah, I think I used to, but I don't, it's not good.
Really? Yeah. I've never had
I think it's more acceptable if there's socks on, but if you go barefoot, then it's like, okay.
What if they're wearing flip-flops? Then then your feet are...
Okay, now, if I have flip-flops on, and I've had that many times because I like to fly to sunny places, I will, if I slide my little toesies out of the flip-flops, I will still set my feet on top of the flip-flops.
Yeah, but that's more to protect your foot from whatever's going on the airplane carpet, isn't it?
But there's really no difference in the thing being in between your toes or not, right? It's just, that's all it is. It's like a thong.
Yeah, but are you...
I'm just thinking more of the extreme pictures you see of the person who sticks their feet to the right of the seat on the wall, and you're like, what are you doing?
It's disgusting.
That's
disgusting.
If you're wearing shoes and you stick your feet up next to somebody else's seat, that's disgusting.
That's true.
I don't care if your shoes are off or on. It's
here's
putting
one.
Your feet up.
I will put... Okay, so let's say you're sitting in the front, the very first seat.
Yeah.
And against the wall, like right in front of you,
yeah, go nuts.
Is just that carpeted wall. Do you put your feet up on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I do too. Yeah. So I thought you were just lamenting.
Well, there's a picture that's circulating.
I'm all for that. But if your feet in, if any part of your body infringes on somebody else's space, I think that's where the bigger offense is. Your seat leaning back a little bit. Like I said, I had no idea that it would make somebody like you uncomfortable. But I think it's funny that you made a policy for yourself where you wouldn't recline. Where, I mean, what percentage of people are 6'4" and bigger? You can recline in front of me all day. It won't bother me all that much. But you've made a rule because it bugs you. But the worst to me is when somebody, their arm goes over the armrest, their feet. If I've had feet come up behind me, and I don't care if they're shoes, socks, or other. That's gross. Get them out of here. If it's empty seats in front, I don't care what you do. There's nobody there. But I'm flying to Japan. I mentioned that earlier. And those flights, are the rules the same if it's a longer flight? If you're on a plane for 12 hours,
yeah,
do you give people more freedom?
No.
Or less?
I think it's all about
I think that plane will probably be a little bit larger because it's a longer flight. So that'll make you more comfortable.
I just think it's etiquette. It's just people are awful.
Just be courteous.
Yes, just be courteous.
But that's all I ask.
And I've learned something speak up, though.
I've learned something about this big guy thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I don't normally really recline all that much anyway, but I'm not going to recline anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to keep reclining, but
out of respect for my fats.
But I would recommend if you're uncomfortable, just tell somebody.
Or my bigs.
Your bigs.
Mike, you're not a fat. You're a big.
That makes me feel a little better.
You're definitely not a fat. You're definitely a big. So I think you put that 280 on somebody my height, then it's a whole story.
I think Suk agrees with you on this because I teased this yesterday, and by you I mean Mike. I teased this yesterday, and he alluded to the fact that he is a never recliner, and I think it's probably just because he's a big.
I wonder if he speaks up when somebody makes him uncomfortable, though. Because is it worse the further into the row, middle seat, window seat?
I sit aisle 98% of the time because it gives my leg. I can put one leg into the aisle when there's no carts coming, although that backfires if you fall asleep and then they don't. They just knee you.
The elbow is worse to me. Take the cart on the elbow. Ah, God, that hurts.
Or when you get on the plane and people are getting on next to you and every one of their bags hits you in the chest. That's also great.
Yeah, I always love it when you're sleeping, and you feel, and then you get hit by the cart, and you feel like she did it on purpose. You're like, even though you were just asleep, you didn't see it, but she's like sending you a purpose pitch. She's going high and tight to make sure you get your arm out of there.
She's like, all right, this idiot. Boom!
So apparently there's a no-recline rule out there.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know that, man. I think this is a new... This is why this caught fire on social media.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a new thing to some people.
Like I said, the most surprising part of me of this conversation are the two elements of... Did he choose the punching tactic over actually trying to have a conversation with the woman?
He did.
And if that backfired to the point... I don't know that I'm in favor of the punch, 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 punch. But also, it's like, what's the impulse to pull out your phone and make it a viral instance?
Some people also will do the dig, because the knees will get further dug into the seat. They won't be as obvious about it, but they'll move their knees around a lot because the seats are so thin now, you feel it through the back of it. And then all of a sudden, you've got two knees just in the lower back just jabbing you over and over again. I saw people on Twitter saying that that's what they did.
Just the passive aggressive. Yeah, that's
super passive.
That drives me crazy. Just you don't have to become friends. Just go, hey,
talk.
I'm sorry. You can see that I'm a big guy. You're crushing my knees here. Is there anything you can do to help out?
Luke says,
I have to be reclined.
Luke Anderson says, talk it out, kids.
That's all I gotta do.
All right. Well, we solved that.
For now, I'm waiting for Mike to take another flight. I want to see how his goes, and I hope he gets yelled at, kind of, but.
Hey, coronavirus update coming up next. Here is the great Mike Lynn. Hey, random question before I give you a coronavirus update.
Okay.
Can you guys find, do you know, have you memorized the emoji lineup?
No, I don't use emojis.
Really?
Yeah. If I need to say smile face, I just write the word smile face.
Okay.
It's I don't know why, but
so you don't even type colon parentheses, you just write smile face?
No, I write the words smile face.
It's your way of being cheeky.
It is my way of being cheeky.
Do you have an iPhone?
I do.
Okay. And Mike, do you have an iPhone? You do.
I do.
Do you know? Have you memorized the emojis? Like when you're looking for, like I was just looking for an airplane because I was texting back and forth with my wife. She's getting ready to take off.
Sure.
So you know how they have the airplane, they have the takeoff and then the landing emoji.
Sure.
So I went searching for that. It took me forever to find it. And I had the thought I wanted to ask you guys if you guys memorize, because you know you do it enough, and I know it puts your most recents over on the left. But I mean, do you know where everything is on that thing? Because I have the hardest time finding emojis.
I think I have a general idea of where I think it might be, but that has often failed me. I'm like, oh, this will be over. Like, I'll scroll three quarters of the way, and that's where the fruits and vegetables are, and that means this will be around here.
Why is it with the fruits and vegetables?
And then it's like, but then it's not there, and then you have to go through each individual line, and you don't find it, and you're going, I know it exists. So, yeah, I do. I think I have an idea, but I'm generally wrong.
Yeah. There's a lot of emojis, man. It's hard to keep track.
There are, and you could just type the words and then be done.
Yeah. Just not everybody's as cool as you, man.
Well, again, like you said, my way of being cheeky makes me feel important. So someone did bring up a instance in which it's okay to film someone else on an airplane. This is from the fan text line. He said, I would record a guy watching porn on his phone. Happened.
Really?
So if a guy in your sight line
is watching,
porn on his phone.
God, that's ballsy.
Record that.
I've never seen somebody watching porn.
I was in Las Vegas driving down the strip, and someone had a DVD player in their driver's side visor watching porn.
Really?
That is a funny image.
Only in Vegas.
I'll tell you.
Somebody said that those emojis move. I don't think that's right.
Well, like you said, you have your favorites, and ones you start using.
Yeah, I think they're stationed.
You get really into the peach for a while, and all of a sudden it pops up to your front.
Get
front
the
of
common
your, front
ones.
Of your line.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coronavirus. 44 new cases on the cruise ship, the Diamond Princess.
Yeah, it's weird that putting all the people with the coronavirus in close quarters isn't helping stop the spread of it.
Right.
It's weird.
But they are quarantined.
Yes. Together with a bunch of people that haven't yet contracted the virus.
So they have now bombed and sunk the Diamond Princess. No, what's happening now is and Asian folks are having to deal with this all across the world.
Oh, you're getting the...
Where everybody's seeing... Asian people are reporting that as they travel, if they so much as cough or sneeze or blow their nose or show any sign that they may be sick... People are shaming them.
Sure.
Like, they're getting...
What are you doing in public?
It's awful. Apparently, it's pretty bad out there.
So, we're like I said, we're going to Japan, so we're planning this trip, and everybody keeps going, are you still going on your trip? And I'm like, well, we're not going to China. It's not... There's not a, you know, DEFCON 6 in Tokyo, and then we're spending a little time in Thailand as well.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, my God, and you're still going on the trip? I'm like, yeah, they've... Different countries.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to Asia, well, I know, but
my wife's going to Belize, and they sent her an email. The airline sent her an email.
Really?
They said they said if you've been traveling to, it was a warning that said if you have come from China, you will not be allowed into Belize. Luckily, she is not coming from China.
It's a good thing, but that's not where her layover is.
So Belize will not let you in right now if you have been traveling from China.
And the death rates are on par with the common flu.
Yeah.
And most
2.6.
Well, and the reported cases are mostly among the immune deficient population anyways, the elderly and the very young.
It does seem odd how much we're freaking out about this one.
Well, they compared it with SARS and MARS, the Middle Eastern respiratory, MERS, I guess is what it was. SARS and MERS.
SARS and MARS.
SARS and MERS.
You idiot.
Wow. I know, it's so stupid. But they're comparing it and the death rates were in the, I want to say around 11 or 12% for SARS.
It was 9.4. I'm sorry to correct you.
No, you're fine. But it was even higher for MERS. But it's like 1.5-2% for the coronavirus. And most of the people that are being hospitalized for it, which are most of the documented cases, are people that already have
the old
deficient immune system. So it's I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot,
I wouldn't worry too much, you know, if I were out there traveling the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can never be too cautious, I guess. I mean, my wife would consider, because she's sick.
Okay.
So my wife is leaving, and she's getting over it, but she feels like she had the flu. She thought it was a cold, but she feels like she had the flu. And so she's not contagious, but she is certainly draining right now.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And...
I do.
So when she's blowing her nose in the airport and stuff, like people, even she's not even Asian. People are gonna be like, people are freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's weird how people react.
Yeah, well, I mean, if one thing...
Maybe somebody has a cold.
If one thing the 2020 media is very good at, it, it's drumming up panic.
Fear.
Fear!
Fear equals dollars, baby.
We're all dying. We're all dying. It's just a matter of when the coronavirus comes to call at the Rop household.
Yeah, I thought I got corona
when
I was in Vegas.
Well, Tony Roma, patient zero, right?
You think, yeah,
Tony, right. Tony Roma with the corona hotline.
You think Suk's going to come back with it? Everybody's traveling right now.
From Vegas? Yeah, it's a pretty good possibility. Saddles up to the wrong slot machine. He comes
home with
the coronavirus.
He probably drinks Coronas.
Probably does, doesn't he?
He looks like a Corona guy.
Yeah, I can see that. Wearing a tank top, drinking Coronas.
All right, John is going to wrap this sucker up.
We'll have
up
him
next.
Confirm the Coronas and tank tops with Big Suk next.
And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, you might need to pull John up there.
Oh,
the I don't have the phones over here.
We got him.
Okay.
John, hello? John, hello, John. John, are you there?
Come in,
caller,
John.
Caller, are you there? Caller, come in. You're on line two. Go.
All right, we're talking with Vancouver here. John in Vancouver, go.
Hey, do you know your brother's in Vegas?
I do know my brother's in Vegas. I was listening to you guys talk about it earlier.
Does he drink Corona in tank tops?
I cannot confirm drinking Corona, but I can confirm he's probably wearing a tank top right now. He has a lot of them.
Yeah.
He does. He's a tank top guy.
Does he have formal and casual tank tops?
He does. It's really disturbing. there's no particular reason why. Like, he'll wear it when it's not sunny. He'll wear it when he's not going to the gym. He'll just, like, if you go to his house and you just drop in, I'm going to say there's an 80% chance he's rocking a tank top.
Fascinating. He likes his arms. Yeah. He looks at his arms a lot. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. He'll tell you why he lifts weights.
Yeah.
In fact, my wife does this great. He does this thing. In our old house, we had this big, huge mirror on the wall. Like, one whole wall was a mirror. And whenever we don't have it anymore, but whenever he was in the living room, he would do this thing where he's talking to you.
But he's looking at himself.
He's looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
And then he does this, like, like this half turn where, like, you know, like you're looking to see how fat you look.
Get my good side.
Yeah, he does that. And my wife does the most amazing impersonation of it. Like, we'll just be talking sometime here, her and I, and she'll look in the mirror and do it. Like, she'll look away from me and then do this, like, half turn thing. And I know she's making fun of my brother. It's awesome.
That's hilarious.
John, did you hear us talking about the recline, no recline conversation? Because I want you're a big guy.
That's correct.
So fair to say that you're uncomfortable if somebody reclines in front of you.
I feel very strongly about this, Luke.
Okay.
And I tweeted this out earlier. Here's my take on it. It's not like the best way to say it is the amount of comfort you gain by reclining an airplane seat is like 10%. Okay. Right?
Yeah,
it's not very much. Yeah, it's minimal. Like, it's not like you're super uncomfortable and then you recline and you're like, oh my gosh, lap of luxury.
That's right.
It makes it a little better, but I said like 10%. The amount of discomfort that the person behind you feels, if they're at all big or tall, is like 187%. So if you make that change, if you make that deal to get just a little comfort at the huge discomfort of the person behind you, then I think you're a jerk.
If you
make that knowingly, you're a jerk. There's just no way around it.
So here's a question that I asked Mike. Is have you ever been so uncomfortable that you asked the person in front of you? Because I'm very average size guy, you know from coaching me in football. I'm also average athlete as well. But
you know what though, you can't measure the size of your heart, Luke Anderson.
That's fair. But it gives me almost no discomfort if the person in front of me reclines. So it's not something that I've thought about until Mike gave his impassioned speech about it. Have you ever taken the time to ask the person in front of you to return their seat to the full upright position?
Yes. In fact, my go-to, I heard, you know, the punching and the knee. My go-to move is I lean forward and I rest my forearms on top of the seat back in front of me.
Mm.
And inevitably, my forearms will hit the top of their head, and my hands will dangle over their space like a chandelier. And not only am I invading their space, but I'm like chandeliering them, and almost always they'll look up at my hands and move the seat back up, because that's my nonverbal cue of like, hey, you want to encroach my space? Guess what? It's a 3-hour fight. You're going to chandelier this thing the whole time.
What's wrong with the verbal indication? Like, I mean, I get the subtlety of nonverbal communication, but why not just go, hey, if you don't mind, I'm a giant person back here and you've made me uncomfortable.
Because,
is there any chance you could do it?
They didn't turn around and say, hey, excuse me, giant man. I'm going to go ahead and lean back here. Yeah. And I know it's uncomfortable for you, but I'm going to do. They just did it anyway. They didn't even look.
That's why it's always, yeah. That's the same thing I said, is they didn't give me the common courtesy. They
right.
didn't.
Well, but you need to start right. chandeliering, it sounds like, Michael Lynch.
I can't believe you
start
are
smacking
that big
him upside the head.
That you can chandelier. Like, I couldn't even it would be hard for me to chandelier.
I would be, I'd be more uncomfortable.
I'd be standing up. So wait, okay, so don't you think, though, in fairness to people, to recliners, don't you mm-hmm. think, and I'm not sure why it's only just now occurring, but don't you think a lot of people are just now learning this fact about big people?
It seems like it, and it's one of those things that having been, I mean, I'm a big person, been big my whole life, like it's every time I get on a flight, I worry about it, but I think you're right. I think normal-sized people don't ever think about it,
yeah.
And so it feels like now it's coming out, and I, for one, am grateful because hopefully, look, before you recline, just take a look back. Just take a glance back, and if the guy's 6'6", don't do it. You're killing it.
Right.
Yeah. Fair enough. But you ask, I'll move the seat back too.
Hashtag fats too.
Right? And if you do it, you're going to get the chandelier all the way to Kansas City. I'll tell you that right now.
I love the chandelier.
So do I. I love that he's named it. Well done, John.
Boy, that would make me really uncomfortable if somebody was chandeliering me.
You got that right.
At least it's his hands.
What if I bit one of his fingers? Naughty style. Then what does he do?
Gentle bite down.
He caresses my head, and then it's like,
Hey, maybe your whole life changes at that moment. Right. Who knows?
Love you.
Thanks, John.
Guys, love you.
Bye.
All right. Well, that's it. We got to go.
All right, bye-bye.
No show Monday. Sook's back, the whole band back together Tuesday, 3-7 on The Fan. Thanks for filling in, Luke.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
The Torments.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.